Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem. How can we, should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Shall we turn to Psalm 122? Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of our Lord, our God, I will seek your good. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God for it. Okay, there is no God beside the God of Israel. Amen?
Amen?
The nations are just a drop in the bucket. God begins, he controls, and he ends history. It's his story. Without Israel, there would be no Messiah and no salvation for anyone, Jew or Gentile. Now, I enjoyed Philip's talk very, very much, and many, many scriptures there that we will again need to look at in our own private time. But I could say amen and amen and another amen to what was said. But much has been written about, much has been discussed and debated concerning the Middle East, the Middle East crisis, and it's almost always from a political perspective. Almost always from a political perspective, and that is what you would expect from the world. That is what you would expect from our media. You would expect that. But what is happening in the Middle East will never, ever be understood apart from its spiritual roots. For it is from start to finish a spiritual conflict, which is why it will never, ever be settled politically. Won't ever be settled politically. So why are we instructed to pray? Why should we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 6. That may shed some light on this question. The Lord said, "Yet I have chosen Jerusalem that my name may be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel." That's one reason to pray for Jerusalem, because he's chosen it. Hallelujah. And the Lord makes it explicitly clear that his commitment to Israel, as we heard in the first session, is unbreakable. It's unbreakable. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 7 to 8. In this house, or in this temple, and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, in this house, or in this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Okay. Tell me, how many cities, how many geographical places has God told us in his word to pray for? Name them. One. Only Jerusalem. That's the only only place, only geographical place in the whole of the Word of God that you and I are to specifically pray for. Now, does that mean we don't pray for London, Crawley, Audley and anything? Of course we do, but as led by the Lord. But Jerusalem is the only one, man, it's important to the Lord. The Lord has set apart Jerusalem apart from any other city in the world. He's set it apart. It's special to him. He has placed his name there. And as a result, there's been a perpetual violent struggle between the Jews and the Muslims for the city of Jerusalem. And amazingly, as Philip articulated earlier, and as we all know, some to our cost, amazingly, a lot of the church has conveniently ignored Israel's 2,000-year connection with Jerusalem and has sided with the Palestinians to divide it. Well, we can praise the Lord that as the regathering of the Jews from the four corners of the world is taking place, it is primarily because God had a plan of redemption for a great remnant of them. Hallelujah. God has a plan. We heard it in the first session. Glory to his name. But the nations of the world will come against. They will come against Israel. They will come against the Jew for the control of Jerusalem. We see it today. The battle is going to become more and more intense. If you like, another Holocaust is going to take place. The Nazi Holocaust killed one Jew in three. The passage that we read earlier from Zechariah tells us that two out of three will lose their lives. You see, a Jewish state in the midst of the Muslim Middle East is by its very existence an insult to Allah and Islam. It's an insult to have a Jewish state in the midst of countries, in the midst of a geographical area which is Islamic by its very foundation. It's an insult to Islam, and therefore, in their eyes and in their book, it must be destroyed. Islam can have no lasting peace with Israel. Full stop. Only a temporary ceasefire. Israel is surrounded by more than a billion Muslims who have sworn to eradicate her. Why pray for Israel? Why pray for Jerusalem? A legitimate question. I think it is a legitimate question. A legitimate question as to what is the purpose for praying for the peace of Jerusalem, as we have it even in Psalm 122, knowing that there's going to be an enormous cosmic problem that won't be solved until Christ returns. How can we pray for the peace of Jerusalem when we know there's going to be an almighty cosmic upheaval, terror, problems, which will not be sorted until Jesus returns? Praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Is it God's will, do you think, that we should be praying for the latest political peace process to succeed? I would agree, no. How do we reconcile praying for peace with the events that appear to be moving towards fulfillment of the prophecies of great conflict and immeasurable suffering? These are legitimate questions, aren't they? Certainly, we must Pray in the Spirit and pray with an open Bible. So, why pray for the peace of Jerusalem? I'm going to suggest 5 reasons. Right? Why pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Number one, so that we don't become over-anxious about the real threats to her. See, God won't hear our prayers unless there's faith, unless we're praying the word. We have to have faith that God is still in control, is ordering his purposes out. See, if I'm only taking the BBC or CNN or something, or even the Daily Mail as our understanding of what is happening in the Middle East and in particular in Israel, we will fear, we will get over anxious. Faith will go out the window because it's pretty horrible. It's pretty horrible. But God wants us to pray with understanding and in the Spirit. The Lord answers us time and again, and particularly in Zechariah, that he will never, ever allow Jerusalem to be wiped off the map. Hallelujah. That's our confidence. That's our confidence. It is his city, and it's where he has put his name. I have to be honest. I personally don't get over anxious or lose much sleep, because why should I lose sleep if the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleep? I don't lose much sleep if they're going to give this bit to them and this other bit to them. I hope they don't. But what I do know is God's going to come back. Jesus is going to come back, and it's his city. I can't condone all that Israel is doing in the present political realm. Neither can you. It is his city, so we must not be over anxious about it. Second reason, speaking of the Jewish people, the Lord said, "Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye." That's Zechariah 2, verse 9. And he also says, the Lord Jesus says, "Whatever you did for the least of one of these brothers of mine, you did for me." I know that it will break the Lord's heart, as it were, because when he was on earth, you remember, he wept over Jerusalem. I believe the Lord's heart breaks as he sees his city being defiled by hate and bloodshed and what is going on. Bob Pierce, who is the founder of World Vision, has said, "Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." That's special to the Lord. It's good for us to be on the Lord's side. Do you know, there is a rising anti-Semitism within the professing Church of Jesus Christ. Many within the church are siding with the Palestinians and others. They're just, Israel being accused of apartheid and all sorts of other nonsense. We've read some scriptures, and I've quoted them. Philip read some, and you know the scriptures. I have to say this. If you oppose Israel and God's plans for Israel, you're opposing God. And that's pretty solemn. Those who bless Israel, they will be blessed. Those who curse, will be cursed. And that's what my heart weeps, and I'm just praying, and whatever opportunity I have to speak even to the local leaders, that they may, as I had to do, come to repentance and embrace what God says, whether we agree with it or not. I'm not here, and I won't be able to judge God or his word. He and his word judges me. I want to be on God's side. Number three, why pray for the peace of Jerusalem? This is a good one. He's told us to. He's commanded it. Don't we want to be obedient? All of Psalm 122 speaks of the special nature of Jerusalem, the one place on earth God specifically chose for his dwelling and promises prosperity to those who pray for its peace. Now, one or two people saying, oh, he's gone into the Benny Hinn camp now. Spiritual prosperity, being blessed. Being blessed. Being blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. Being blessed, rich in Christ. Hallelujah. Number four. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Number four. Philip mentioned this because it's so important. Pray that Jew and Arab will recognize their Messiah now. This is one very good reason that we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And I'm just going to enlarge on that in a second. Peace between God and man. Fifthly, when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying for the Messiah to come and establish his kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Maybe that's the best reason of all. You can almost hear the footsteps of the Messiah when you pray for Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem. He's coming back. Well, after this very severe conflict, which we read in various parts of the scriptures that is coming. After this severe conflict with Israel, that tiny nation being in the middle of all of its hostility around, when the armies of the United Nations have been defeated, because they will be, hallelujah, they will be defeated, its enemies will be defeated, Israel will be miraculously saved. They will be brought to an end of themselves with no one to turn to except God. And as Philip said earlier, they will recognize Yeshua as the Messiah. Let's just read Zechariah chapter 12. We read some verses later in Zechariah 12, but we'll read verses 10 and 11 of Zechariah chapter 12. What do these say? And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And verse 1 of chapter 13, we read this. Verse 1, in that day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for that day to come when Israel will be saved. Hallelujah. This passage assures us that the Jews will repent of their rejection of their Messiah. They will receive him, accept him as their Savior, because God has done a work in them. Hallelujah. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the salvation of the Jew and Arab. One day they will look on him whom they have pierced. Is it our heart's desire that Jews might be saved? Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. Psalm 122 is obviously a song of ascents. Remember God's promise to Abraham that through his descendants, Abraham's descendants, all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. And David says that Jerusalem is where the tribes go up to worship and where thrones for judgment stand. And then comes verse 6 in 122. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. Peace. What's the Hebrew word which we have as peace? Shalom. May there be wholeness. May there be well-being. May you be at one with God. Peace. God has promised that one day Jesus will appear in the heavens. Why pray for the peace and the wholeness of Jerusalem? Considering the prophecies yet to be fulfilled of the nations coming against Jerusalem, I think we're very near to that time. With all of the awful bloodshed involved, before Christ comes and stands on the Mount of Olives, our prayer should be that of pleading for sinners to be snatched from hell and saved by the sacrifice of Yeshua. Praying for peace, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Ambassadors for Jesus Christ, reconciled, as we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Jew, Gentile. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We should be asking God to send Messiah back to Jerusalem so that he can rule on the throne of David, bringing peace to Israel and the other nations. Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7, often this scripture comes out at Christmas, and that's all. It's not about Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Messiah will rule from the throne of David, giving the world government, the world a government of peace, justice, and righteousness. Hallelujah. We should be longing for that day. In the meantime, living as kingdom people. People of hope, not of despair. People who know God is in control. People on his side. The throne of David is not in heaven. It's located in Jerusalem. Jesus is not now on the throne of David. He sits at the right hand of his Father on his Father's throne. So, there will never be real peace in the Middle East or on earth until King Jesus is ruling from Jerusalem. His ultimate victorious return to the Mount of Olives leads us to the establishment of the Lord's millennial kingdom on the earth. He's coming on a horse. He takes over the governments of this world. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. He will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will reign over the entire world from Jerusalem. We will see the earth flooded with peace, righteousness, and justice as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. Why pray for the peace of Jerusalem? I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silence, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. One day, soon, Jerusalem will be a praise in the earth. Now God help us to pray using his word and in the Holy Spirit. You and I to remain awake and alert. When everyone else may seem to be asleep or otherwise busy. See, our prayer is to outwit the enemy. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem till he makes or establishes Jerusalem a praise in the earth, until he establishes his kingdom there, Yeshua's messianic kingdom. And friends, as God's people praying for the peace of Jerusalem, we will prosper. We will be alive in God's purposes and plans. And we can share in the Saviour's joy, knowing that one day the people of Jerusalem will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Remember that when you do so, you are really praying for a return of Jesus. But Jerusalem will not enjoy true peace until the Prince of Peace returns. Jesus said to Jerusalem, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Amen.